Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
All right. Welcome back to this edition of the Faith and Hustle podcast. Thanks to numerous conversations about what we should be talking about and how we can help others, we did what we always did, and we just dove into our own problems. And so I wanted to kind of set the theme here. We're going to talk about decompression. What is decompression? So let's start with a fun little story. There's a man, a Dutch man by the name of Harry Bekeler, and I'm going to butcher this, but he was wheelchair bound for 15 years. So Harry started scuba diving, and a miracle happened to him. All of his pain went away when he started scuba diving. How is that possible? So one of the things that we discovered is he had a compression of the spinal cord. And due to that compression, he couldn't walk. Started when he was about 28 years old and moved on. It just caused him extreme pain, his back, his hips, his legs. And somehow or another, he wanted to try scuba diving before he died. Like, he just had kind of given up on life, so the story says. And this Dutch physician decided to try some stuff on the extreme side. So one of the things that we're going to do, because of the joint pain, the pressure, the compression, and I'm not a medical guy. I'm sure Mr. Hollingsworth can give us more insight into that. But the biggest part was the compression on spinal cord from the inflammation. So they put him in a hyperbolic chamber and compressed him to a high pressure, equivalent of scuba diving to 300 feet, and then brought him back. And it was a experimental therapy. So he found that it relieved some pain. So they did it again, and they did it again. And after a couple times, he started to gain some feeling in his legs, and some of the pain went away. And so, okay, well, that's interesting, but I still want to see the fish, right? So the season comes around, and the story is that he goes scuba diving. And when they bring him back up on the boat, he can feel his feet, his toes, all the different aspects of what we call normal life. He's able to feel things. And the decompression or the compression of his spinal cord created a situation where he learned how to walk again. And it allowed the nerves to feel things, the blood flow to start happening. And it's a pretty incredible story. And I completely butchered it. But scuba diving helped this man walk again. What did that require? Well, the deeper dives, as it started going on, they started doing things like these 1,200 feet extreme saturation dives, commercial diving stuff. And so as long as he was doing that over the years, he learned, regained full function, normal life.
Yeah.
So as long as he went on some crazy bender scuba dive routinely and vacationed. So after some time, he learned how to walk again, maintained that walking again through scuba diving. And
so the compression and the decompression are both necessary.
Yeah. So the negative natural compression disease or effect to his body was counteracted by extreme pressure.
Yeah.
That's an interesting story. So 15 years in a wheelchair, guy goes deep water scuba diving, puts a lot of pressure on his body, and learns how to walk. Now, what does that mean? Why are we talking about some guy scuba diving?
Because a day at the office is a deep dive. You're compressed. Like, you have all... sometimes, man, the pressure of just a day is a lot, you know? And then when you get... When you leave the office, you have to leave the office, right? There's times in my workday that I know that I didn't consult with God enough, right? Like, I just tried to let Garrett Baker do Garrett Baker. things, and sometimes
I would argue that's most things, huh, Garrett?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, you know, as you go along, maybe it gets 50-50 or 60-40, but you know, once my day starts, beginning of the day, I book in my day pretty well, but man, the middle of the day,
yeah,
man, I forget about Jesus and God a lot, and I hate to say that, but it's true. You know, I mean, there's times where I'm good, but there's times where I'm not, you know. So.
No, 100%. So like, but that's the compression part of it. That's that part of the story. We're not walking. Like, we're not living our walk while we're handling our business.
So you need some time to decompress.
Yeah, put things into perspective. And, you know, man, sometimes when you're in the middle of the suck, you know, like when you're embracing the suck, you're not sitting there and saying, thank you for this sucky, great stuff around me, right?
Yeah. So we're out, we're working all day. We're driving. I mean, what's the old Kenny Chesney song where he's talking about the woman where she's having a hard day and she just wants to come home and be loved by her husband, right? I can't remember the name of the song, but you know, she's doing all the meetings, picking up the kids, dropping the kids off, making dinner.
PTA and
the whole nine. Yeah, it's a great tune, and I don't remember any of it because I didn't do my homework. But but she comes home, she just wants a bubble bath and a glass of wine and time to chill out.
Yeah.
And
that's what I want too. I want a bubble bath and a glass of wine. I mean, that sounds amazing.
You're welcome anytime, my friend. Come on over. I'll run you a bath.
Hey, you want to know a funny story? Literally, when I got home Friday, I'm not going to dig into it, but Hurricane Beryl just came through, and one of our locations had a lot of.
You said it wrong. It's Beryl.
Burl. Come on, redneck.
All right. Yeah. It's not Beryl?
No.
It's Beryl?
It's Hurricane Beryl.
Beryl? All right. Hurricane Beryl came through then. But, you know, I worked real hard, and we were pulling out insulation and ceiling tiles. Actually, Sean was there. And anyway, I drove home. I got all the way home, and I'm like, man, I'm so itchy. I was talking to my wife. I'm just itchy. You know, I got that insulation all over my body, and it's like I want to just – you know, sprayed. I want to strip down naked and have somebody spray me with a fire hose. You know, I just feel like I'm just got stuff all over me. Well, I'll be danged if when I got home, my wife had me a bubble bath with Epsom salts. And I don't know if she had a glass of bourbon or just a Coke Zero. She doesn't like Coke Zero. And I just sat there in a bubble bath when I got home, and it was a good decompression, guys. So, you know, it's not always the women that need that, too. So I got a confession.
Garrett and I are just staring at each other with our mouths open.
Well, no, so
we have a mental picture of this.
Yeah, no, I know that B is the white cotton robe guy, like as soon as he gets to the swanky hotel.
You dang right.
Like, I know.
And a cigar. Yeah. That's right.
I know this. Like, I could just tell. He didn't even have to tell me. Like, I know
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I mean, I come home.
I'm too robust, though. Those things don't fit all the way around.
One size does not fit all.
Anyway,
I digress. I was cutting him off. You know, Holly comes home. She's got the bubble bath and the glass of wine. Then where were you going with that one?
Well, she's probably in the bubble bath with the glass of wine, which is okay, too, but... But no, that's not where I was headed. I was headed with, you know, that's what you want. You need that time to, it's not new. I mean, if Kenny Chesney's writing a song about it, I mean, it's I've been listening to the song for 15 years or something.
Yeah.
We need some time, and we don't realize it. So there's times when I come home and I've been running and gunning all day long, and I run through that, and they, you know, and you walk in. And you go, hey, how was your day? Because you're just asking questions we're not even thinking. You're just talking.
Yeah.
And they do something. Next thing you know, and it doesn't take 15 minutes. You're balled up in a fight because it's not their fault. You're coming home running 1,000 miles an hour full of piss and vinegar. And they turn around and go, what's your problem? I'm like, I just had a hard day, and I just need some time to decompress. Like, I have said that. And so over the years, I've learned that when I come home, sometimes I will sit in the car, or I will go to my office, or I'll walk through the house and go, hey, I'm going to go chill out by myself, I'm going to go mow the yard. I'm going to go do something, go for a little run. I need an hour to wash the work, wash the day, wash the stress, wash the problems out of my brain.
Yeah.
So that I can be your husband and y'all's father and, you know, my dog's dad, and not be this ball of tension. And so that's the decompression side of it. So for me, that's why I draw the parallel to the guy that's going, I have all this pressure on my spine and I need to get it off. And if I go really, really deep into something, just for a little bit, it'll compress and pull all that inflammation out and I can be who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
And that's something that I learned the hard way.
No,
I just want somebody else to not learn it the hard way.
When you got to the point where he was being pressurized and depressurized, I got the allegory and why you were reading that. Like, because that is who like people, you don't get paid to, you know, people think that they get paid for what they know and they get paid. There's more talented people out there than some CEOs, right? But those guys are the guys that can handle the stress. They can handle the pressure. So that's why they're getting paid the money they get paid. So when you're under pressure for, let's say, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours right now, my heart goes out to him because it's 24 hours a day until everything is settled with what happened with the hurricane and stuff, right? So,
yep.
Yeah.
I've been under a lot of pressure over the last week or so. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, like, you have to have those moments of decompression. It's daily. Because if you don't, like, it leads to epic blow up, it leads to epic failure, it leads to burnout, it leads to resentment. Right. And that's not of God.
And you take it out on people around you and your decision making starts.
Yeah. Faulty.
Degrading.
Yeah.
Faulty.
Like it's a necessity.
So Brian decompresses with Epsom salt and a bubble bath. You know, I'll decompress with a 4 or 5 mile run.
Yeah.
What do you decompress?
I decompress with this stupid game on my phone and cannonballs in my swimming pool.
Okay, I didn't expect cannonballs in the swimming pool. What about January? What do you do in January?
So I still swim in January.
Love it.
Always though. Like
some of that Irish Viking.
You what in January?
I still swim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. It's not like I don't actually swim. Plunge. I do. I do a couple. You know, I do it. I do it pretty regularly. Sometimes, you know, I'm not in the best state of mind when I do it. You know. Might be inebriated.
Yeah. I might have a couple of drinks in a swim.
Yeah, I might have celebrated a birthday or something. And, but no, I do. I do like it's in the summertime. Like I love the summertime because that's when my decompression changes. It goes from like inactivity to me laying across the bed for a couple hours and looking at this stupid game and trying to figure out how. And still, I'm trying to figure something out in this dumb game, right? But in reality, like it's simple, it's simplified, right? And I think that's what. But I wish, like, talking about it, the thing that I wish I would use to decompress is maybe getting some scripture, maybe read a book, maybe do you know what I mean? Do something that adds more value than. But the cannonballs, those are priceless.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You know, you hit on something that made me, it just triggered a thought. There's a disorder, it's SADS. Have you ever heard of SADS?
Uh-uh.
Okay, Brian, come on, you're a medical guy.
I haven't.
Sudden arrhythmic death syndrome or seasonal affective disorder. So you said that in the summertime versus the winter, you have to do things different.
Yeah.
So there's a real syndrome that occurs when you don't get enough ultraviolet light, sunshine, because the days are shorter in the wintertime. Like suicide rates go through the roof in Alaska in the winter, right? Because there's like this dark all the time and there's just the depression goes up. So I'm with you on that. Summer is easier than winter.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get dark. I mean, we're leaving for jiu-jitsu practice that starts at 6:30 and it's dark.
Dark, yeah.
It's crazy.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's not fun.
When you wake up, you go.
It's dark when you get home, and we live close. We're in the South, and it's that way. So God forbid you're a Yankee, right?
Yeah. But, no, I don't.
Yeah, there's something to that. And we're bringing this up because what do you as a listener, what do you do to deal with this? How do you decompress? Because you get compressed throughout the day, whether you want it or not. No. You're going to get compressed. Brian, I mean, you're talking about coming back from dealing with a hurricane, literally dealing with...
Fully compressed.
It compresses you. So
hopefully this conversation is helping you, B.
Man, I mean, it is. I'm thinking about it. Man, I've got a story to tell. I'm kind of just waiting. Y'all were flowing pretty well, but...
I wanted to take this moment in the podcast for it's story time by Brian.
There we go. Story time by Brian. Compression, decompression. Man, it's something I deal with all the time. It's near and dear to my heart because, man, I'm put in a lot of stress. I got a lot of irons in the fire all the time. It's something that's common for me. It's not uncommon at all. And, I deal with it here recently. I've got personal stressors, kids that are growing up and going to college and becoming young men and then stepping out on their own. So there's some rub there, and there's some fear, and there's some nervousness about the future. And there's also, hurricanes tearing up buildings, loss of business income. There's a lot of things going on. I've got a lot of my providers that have been ill and sick, just a lot of things that are going on all at the same time. And I'm getting better at handling them and trusting God with them. And I'll say that last night I didn't get a lot of sleep. I didn't do a good job of decompressing. I had a good night, but when I got home, man, my mind started racing and I just started worrying about, everything. I don't know if you guys get like that every once in a while, but for whatever reason, before I went to bed last night, it was every stressor that was on my mind. I had to think through it and as a man try to problem solve it. And I just didn't do a good job of saying, hey, I'm going to leave tomorrow's worries for tomorrow. I was going to worry about them so hard that night. Well, I didn't get much sleep. Woke up at like 4:30, finally got on the road and just said, hey, I'm just going to drive over there. But as I was... My normal decompression at the end of the day is I'm going to listen to praise and worship. I'm going to listen to sermons. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. And that's, it's morning and evening for me. But this morning I had a two hour plus drive and I used it to decompress. I used it to reconnect with God and I used it to go, hey God, look, it's not that big a deal. I know you got this under control. And I used it to center myself. And, man, positive outcomes throughout the whole day. I asked God to come into my life today and to take it over. And, hey, God, I've done what I can do. I've busted my tail, and I've done the best I can. Now it's just up to you. I hope the roofers are there and they got a roof on her. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it doesn't get any worse. There was an insurance adjuster that showed up, and it looks like they're going to pay for everything. I had nothing but great outcomes. But I just felt like God was just waiting for me to go, hey, man, I'm here. I got your problems. You don't have your problems. Come on over here. And the minute I actually did it, it's like ice. It's like the waves in the boat just calmed down. It was great, man. I'm in a good mood right now.
What's awesome that you made that analogy because, you are, I can speak to you, because I've seen you in these situations. Like your first instinct is to go down and wake Jesus up when the storm starts on the sea. You know what I mean? Like nobody.
I have never heard anybody tell somebody else that before, and that's amazing. But that's cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't have an opinion. I've just never heard that, and it's awesome.
Yeah, no, that story is just something that's near and dear to my heart because I don't go wake him up immediately. B, his first instinct is to go down and be like, "Hey, bro. You got to wake up. We got some chop out here.
It's getting choppy out there, dude."
But I don't do
I'm
that.
I'm stupid, man. I can't handle this, man. I can do a little chop, but it's getting serious out there. It's time for you to show up, man. Oh, yeah. I'll tell him just like that. God, it is time. I don't have it. I do not have it. You've got to show up. There's that praise and worship song, I'm not enough unless you come. Can you meet me here again? Man, I can't tell you how many times I've sang that song because – here I am again, God, where I'm not enough unless you show up. You know, it's like I'm always putting myself in these positions, which is probably not the smartest thing, but man, God's faithful. He always is. So.
Yeah. That is awesome, man. Like, because I know, because we've interacted this week through text and everything, you know, and it just, that's why I kept telling you it's done, man. It's done. Because, like, I know you're a faithful dude. I admire that about you. Like, truly do.
Thanks, man. I don't always have it, man. There's some times where I'm trying to do it myself too much, and there's, you know, other times where I lose a little bit of faith, you know, here and there. But in general, man, God's been so faithful. It's so consistent. You know, it's like I'm almost dumb not to, you know. I had a conversation with my landlord today that we didn't really have – we'd had some different of opinions early on, and we haven't had the best relationship. But, man, I was talking to him about it, and I was telling him that, man, God's so faithful. I don't even know why – like, we're having such a great outcome. I don't even know why I was worried 3 days ago. Well, I was worried because there was water all over the floor and there was ceiling tiles missing and water in the lights. And, you know, I need to change 30 lights out. And meanwhile, I don't have power for a week. And all my customers are using my competitors. So, yeah. Yes, there's a legitimate reason to worry, you know, no question. But, you know, in reality, why would I? I've got the God who the creator of the universe who loves me and shows me favor. Why would I even worry?
And look, bro, I don't even know if you realized it, but I mean, we're faith and hustle, right? That's us. We're hustling. We're talking about hustling. We're talking about decompressing after hustling all day. Yeah. But this is going towards faith. And I don't even know if you realized you did this, but I had the privilege and the honor of just being nearby when you sent out a text message to half a dozen people that you respect and you wanted them to pray for you because you were having a hard day and you had to deal with some of this stuff. And I happened to be within an hour's drive and happened to have an afternoon off. And so I'm like, dude, I'm on my way. Like, I'm actually having my work clothes on for the most part. I'm rolling out. And I headed over there and it just didn't have anything else to do. It was awesome that I was free. But I get over there and we work and we're like tarping the roof and we're knocking ceiling tiles out and just trying to clean the place up. We're making a mess so that it can get cleaned up. And then like finally it's like, look, man, I got some chicken out here. It's probably cold as ice cubes, but let's go grab some because I'm freaking starving and you need some chicken. Like, I'm really trying to convince you that you need some chicken, but I need some chicken.
Chicken cures everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, so we get out and we get some chicken, and you know what? God grinds my corn to say this, but I didn't even think about praying over our chicken because we're sitting like on a stump in the back of behind a building, right? And first
what kind of chicken was it?
It was some canes, some good old canes chicken. But it was like, it was.
Yeah, some soft stuff, right?
We did. But the fries, I couldn't.
Their fries were terrible.
The bread was still good, but the fries were good hot. But they're so not good 4 hours old.
That cane sauce is the main event.
It's good stuff.
Oh, the cane sauce is the
best. And look, I've got all this going on in my head. I'm just ready to tear in and eat the two or three chicken strips that I'm fixing to jump into. And Brian said, well, let's bless it. And I'm like, oh, man. And I felt so bad because I was just – it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I just want to eat something. I didn't think about praying over my meal because I'm not at the dinner table at Thanksgiving and trying to do the formal meal, right?
Hey, when I say Thanksgiving prayer, man, I'm
– the long form, Brian.
That's for the long-term listener, that Easter egg. Yeah. But Mr. Hollingsworth goes, hey, let's bless this food. And he starts to pray. And the first thing he says is, Lord, thank you for the hurricane. And thank you for the lot, our building getting tore up. And I'm going, oh, my God, this guy just thank God for destruction and torment in his life. But that's where he went. Because you know what? This is a man of God. And he believes it. And, you know, we joke around, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
Yeah.
You know?
His first instinct was to wake up.
To thank God in the hardship for what we were dealing with and for all the compression in life. Thank you, Lord, because something good's going to come out of this. And I don't feel it right now, and I don't know it right now, but I am grateful for the opportunity to make you amazing. So let's lean heavy in the faith side for this for a second.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be yoked with men like that.
Absolutely. No, that was that was the first thing I thought, like, when he was talking about, you know, the storm and stuff, was that that's always B's natural instinct.
Thank you for the problem, Lord.
No, the storm comes, he's like, oh, hey. He sees the storm on the horizon, right? And he's like, hey, time to go wake him up. He's stomping.
He knows where that easy button is, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah. He's like, wake him up.
I mean, there's times where I just know that, man, it's creature of habit, man. I know how much I've struggled without it, right? You know, and it's like, even with this one too, it's like you don't get as nervous, but it still is nervous. And, you know, I didn't do a good job of decompressing until this morning with God. Yeah. Like, I did my earthly things. Had a couple of drinks, cannonball in the swimming pool, you know, the bubble bath, you know, whatever it may be. I've got my things that I do, but the real decompression is going, okay, God, hey, all right, here I am, Lord. I'm in this storm, and it's a little scary, and, you know, I know there's a testimony going to come out of this, and I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm going to praise you right now, and I'm going to thank you for it, and we're going to get through it, and I know he's going to be amazing. So he's just done it so many times. Like, once you get in the habit, Eric Stevens taught me that. I can't take it. Eric Stevens taught me that. Man, that dude is praising the storm, and he kind of rubbed off on me. I would say he probably taught me that and experience, you know, experience, a great teacher.
You know, it really is. But the crazy thing is like from being like, so last week, with those text messages and stuff like that, something happened to me on Thursday. Like, I got I was going to life group and got this meeting invite on Friday. It's like a 10:45 meeting invite with the executive vice president of the region and of the company and the vice president of the region. And it was like, it was for a conference call Friday morning. And we had just, you know, we've had some cutbacks and things like that. Like, everybody's kind of going through that right now, right? And so my mind immediately went to this, like, terrible place and was like, dang, am I getting clipped on Friday? You know? So when we were at Life Group, I was like, hey, man, you know, just pray for this meeting tomorrow. Like, I didn't go into specifics. I didn't tell anybody that it was like at 4:45 I got this meeting. But what was funny is while they're praying for me, I get a meeting invite for Monday, like for my boss coming out, right, to have lunch, and we're going to do some strategy stuff and all that. So I just started giggling. And, you know, so I get on this conference call, and the first thing was like, thank you for sending those invites so late, because, you know, for 3 hours, I thought that you was going to shoot me in my face today. And he was like, that's not where you
think about it.
Yeah, he was like, that's not where your mind should go. That shouldn't be. And I could tell it made him mad or offended him because he knew. But, like, it was just, it's one of those unique situations, right? Like, where because you went and woke him up that quick in the process, right? It made me say, okay, like, I need a little bit of prayer, even though I didn't even need prayer in that situation. But for me to ask for prayer, that's paramount, right? Like, that's a big thing. Like, because how long have you known me, B? And how many times have I texted? Or, you know what I mean, talk to guys and stuff.
I was about to go there. Yeah, that's where I was going to go there. You should do that a ton more. I mean, you ain't as tough as you think you are. I mean, I still wouldn't fight you. I'll say it right now. I still wouldn't fight you. But you can't handle it, man. You cannot handle it, you know, but you think you can.
No, absolutely. And But I wouldn't have – I would have let that – I would have never got the opportunity to decompress if – those other text messages hadn't came through during the week. So I thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a core principle that I've written down, and it's really, really, really cool. My daughter here recently gave me a pin board, and she put down half a dozen different things on there. It's like, but she was involved with, like, I had these 12 core principles, and one of them is, and she pinned it on there, printed it out, seeing obstacles as stepping stones. And man, that's what, that's kind of cool. It's like, okay, I said I never heard it before, where Brian, you're going to be the guy that's going to go wake Jesus up on the boat when the first wave hits. Like, you're not even questioning it. Like, no. Like, I can't do this on my own. I need help. Where you at, God? And we're over here like, we got this. Like, this boat's built tough. We built this boat. We can handle some big waves. Yeah. You know, we might need to patch the sail back a little bit, maybe turn a little bit to the starboard or port side, whichever's left and whichever's right. Who knows? I think it's whichever one has the most letters matches, right? But, you know, we didn't.
Starboard's the right side, port's the left.
What? Yeah. Yes, sir, Captain Birkenstock.
But, Captain BJ Birkenstock.
But it doesn't matter, because Captain Birkenstock's going to go to Jesus first. And Jesus knows what side it's on, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't even need to know, because God's got it. And I love that. So, yes.
I admire y'all's confidence. I don't have it. I don't have it like y'all.
That's because
it's our stubbornness. Yeah. It's actually our ego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're back. Every single podcast, we want to rename it to ego and pride.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's because for men, you know, well, that's 80% of our problem.
Yeah. Ego and pride. We had to name it Faith and Hustle because it's inspiring. We couldn't have named it Pride Comes Before the Fall.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, as we wrap up here, some quick takeaways. I do want to get some takeaways. We started out talking about a guy scuba diving in Holland that he learned how to decompress through a sport or a leisure activity, and he regained some function of life and happiness, and there was no God in that article. There was no faith in that article. It was just simply
science
and an accidental breakthrough. Being a scuba diver, I was privy to that conversation, but I never saw this parallel. What are y'all's takeaways, and what can we encourage the listener from? I know one. I want to get this one out of the way. Intentionally taking that time and having that conversation with your spouse. When I come home or when she comes home, I need a minute.
Yeah.
I'm home, but I am not home. I'm not here. I'm not present. Give me however much time I need, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be the spouse that I want to be and you need me to be, but I'm not it right now. And having respect for that person and having the ability to say that. So that's one of the takeaways that I have. And why do we try to be so egotistical and bold and so strong? We built the boat, it'll survive the storm, when you've got someone like Captain Birkenstock over here that's like, hey, Jesus, wake up, need you. Instantly. Like, those are my takeaways. Why don't we just go straight to Jesus? Why don't we just go straight to God? So those are my takeaways.
Yeah.
Food for thought. What are y'all's?
No, I agree with your takeaway in terms of why don't we do that more often? Why isn't our decompression to get in the Word, you know, read a little bit, do something like that? Like, I wish I had the answer for that. Like, there's something broken in my brain that I need to fix. But, yeah, no.
It's habit, too, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's habit and seeing what it's around. And, look, I've failed a lot, guys. Like, I've done a lot of different business things, and I've failed a ton. And I think that breeds, you know, experience, man. It's just experience, you know. Sean's a more experienced triathlon than Garrett is, and Garrett's a more experienced, you know, lifter than I am. You know, I just, you know, there's a lot of things that he's gonna know to do. So it's just experience and failure, you know, to me, you know. Well, I think that's it. I mean, a decompression too is one of the things I want to remind everybody is, there's not good ways to decompress, because if you don't decompress, you usually deal with it by lashing out, right? I don't know that we have time to get into that aspect of it, but man, what happens when I don't decompress? You know, when my wife wants to, even if it's well-intentioned, just want to tell me all about the day, and I'm like, I don't want to hear it about the day.
Yeah.
Or when my fears and my stresses of my my daily life, my fears for my kids, my fears for my business, my fears for, you know, my job. Am I going to get fired or not? You know, when my fears, and I don't use the decompression, I don't get recentered, you know, I end up lashing out. It ends up turning to anger for me.
Yeah.
I end up, you know, finding some other, and I don't do it consciously. I figure it out later, but like I snap at the wife. Usually it's the wife. That's my go-to, is snap at the wife when I'm not decompressing and handling that well. But maybe it's snap at a friend. Maybe it's snap at a coworker. I mean, what are y'all's things when y'all don't decompress? Like, what does it turn into?
No.
That.
100% that. Yes. It's resentment.
Every time. Yeah. It's frustration. Yeah. It's anger. It's not violence. Like that.
Yeah. Well, no, you're sitting there and you're like, man, I'm sitting here fighting for this $1 million deal at work or whatever, or a couple $1 million opportunity, and you're over here talking about the milk was spoiled.
So, I'm gonna look into the crystal ball here, and 6 months down the road, my wife's gonna decide to listen to this podcast, and she's gonna hear me say this. And I'm going to be sitting beside her. Like, I can see this happening. I'm going to be sitting beside her, and she's going to hear me say this, and she's going to look at me, and she is either going to laugh or she's going to punch me. But years ago, I'm like, she called me up. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, I'm 80 foot in the air over the rig floor on a drilling rig, rewiring a 72-pin top drive connector. It's high voltage. It's snowing. And I've already forgotten where I'm at in the wiring sequence of this. Basically saving the world right now. You know, one drilling rig at a time. And she's like,
meanwhile, everybody's staring at you.
I can't feel my legs because they're numb from sitting in this riding belt. Yes. And there's a tool pusher down there and a consultant. And they've got laser beams pointed at me and waiting to pull the trigger because they just looking for a reason to kill me. Anyway, that's where I'm at. So, is it important? No, but you're not going to believe this. The little dog chewed up the rug. And then when she chewed up the rug, then the baby came out and tripped over one of the strings and pooped on the floor. And I had to clean that up. And let me tell you what my mother said. And let me tell you what your mother said. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm saving the world. I might as well be on a space station right now, but doesn't matter because that's important to her. And I answered the phone, and I don't even know where I'm going with this story, but like, this is the kind of conversation.
Did you end up going off on her because you hadn't had a chance to decompress and like being a jerk?
You know, it's a combination of that because yes, I did it very passive aggressively. Like, you know,
You're not overtly.
I truly appreciate the dog chewed the rug up, but I'm making enough money right now to buy 10 freaking rugs right now. And if you'll just look, I'm gritting my teeth and I'm like, and I'm also trying to look like I'm talking to tech support at the same time.
Yeah.
So being in that situation, looking back at it, I could have handled that so different. I could have said, let me take a breath. Baby, listen, I'm really in the middle of something right now. I know you honor and respect that. I love you. And this isn't a good time. You're not going to get the best Sean that you're going to get. And she would have respected that and honored that. But I didn't. I tried to play the game, and that was dumb. What does that have to do with decompression? Nothing.
No.
But in the moment.
It puts more pressure on you.
But in the moment. Yeah. Looking back at it, now we have the conversation. Hey, you're going where? What are you going to do? Like, I gotta run over to this town. I don't know when I'll be back. I promise you, I love you, and I will be back. And when I get back, I'm going to need an hour to chill out in my bubble bath with my cigar and my wine. And she's going to say, well, you can't smoke a cigar in the house, and we don't have any wine in the house right now, so you're screwed on that. But we got some bubble bath stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's cool. Here we go. We're here, and we get better. We get better. We get better. So, and I'm saying all this because it's like there's no real right answer to this. There's no wrong answer to this. What works for you? How do you deal with it? But I'm going to go back to my takeaway. I love Captain Birkenstock.
We're calling him Captain Birkenstock because that's his name when he's on the boat. And we've got a flag flying over on his microphone.
Yeah.
But and he loves his Birkenstocks. But I'm calling it, he goes straight to Jesus. Hey, let's just wake up Jesus. We'll just forget all this stuff in the middle. Lord, what do you want me to do? What's the right answer? And like, that's my takeaway from this.
Yeah. No.
Probably the best decompression there is, for sure. You know, I mean, it's you know, that's what our relationship with God is meant to be, is you know, we were never meant to carry what we try to carry. Like, we, especially as men, we try to carry the world, and it's like, well, you weren't built to carry the world. You know, you're barely a Dodge Dakota, man. You can't be pulling that big old RV behind you. You can't be pulling that load, man. You're not built for that. It's cute that you try. You know, that's how I picture God in my mind, talking to me like, look how funny you are. Look, you tried. You all took it out now. You're so tired, aren't you?
Give it to me, boy.
Just hand it over here. Come here. You know, that's I mean, some people, what's that Talladega Nights? I picture my Jesus with with a bow tie, with a, you know, because he's kind of likes partying, but he's kind of serious.
So here we go. It's a great pointless podcast about decompression. A cool story about a guy that accidentally learned how to walk.
Yeah.
And we love Jesus and our bubble bath. But, you know, would you call me a moderator?
The moderator.
The moderator. You know, as an executive coach, I strongly suggest that you go home and study this on your own.
Yeah. Just figure out what works for you, but communicate.
Bubble bath and glass of red wine, boys. I'm telling you.
Yeah, communicate to the people you love. Like, this is what, you know, like, this is what, you know, me and Tammy there was a period of time where it was like, I was trying to decompress, but I didn't want to say I need this time to be alone or whatever. And there was a lot of fights that happened. And then one day I was like, look, man, when I'm not doing anything, when I get home and I go in the room on those days, like, I need that time to just be alone. I don't need to be bothered. I don't need you to come in and tell me, like, hey, the water bill was $20 more than, you know, because anything can set me off in this moment.
That's right.
And, you know, once I found a way to communicate it that way, like, she didn't go full black wife on me no more, you know?
Yeah. I think
this podcast will be labeled full black wife. What does that mean?
Oh, my God. Bro, like, full black wife, she's like, Tammy is like one of the most brilliant women I've ever met. She's extremely educated. She's smart. Man, she's well spoken and everything. But if I go left, she goes far left. You know,
she'll meet you where you need to be met.
If I hear her like smack the lip and say, "What did you say?" Like, I know I'm in for a heated debate. Like, so
we're so far from decompression with this comment this question. but for the average listener out there, what does it mean to win an argument with your spouse?
Oh, it means a
there is no winning an argument with your spouse. That's a whole nother one. But there is zero W's. I got no pelts on my wall. Not one.
Yeah, you can be right or you can be happy.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll do a whole nother podcast for sure. But no, decompression is important, boys. Y'all go do your bubble bath, and we'll probably cut this last part out. But another one, and last one I will say to do too is, you know, go wake up God and go call your brothers to intercede for you. Because, you know, we're two or more, man. There's power in the prayer of a group of people. That's another thing that I know I'm not good enough on my own. Like, when you have a lot of righteous men praying the same prayer and interceding the same way, man, it's more effective. It just is. You know, I mean, maybe a theologian out there can come tell me why, but I just know it is. You know,
so, man, you know, I love it. I appreciate it. I don't need a theologian to tell me what practical application looks like. You do what I preach. You cut out all the non-essential. Go straight. Just a straight shortcut. Hey, Jesus, wake up. I need you. And if there's anything to come out of this, take a little time when you come home from the day, wash it off, and just go straight to Jesus. Just cut out all that middle stuff. So, look, Faith and Hustle, out.
Hey, and before we go, if anybody has an idea, if we struck a chord with anybody about a topic that you may want us to discuss, feel free to comment in the below and just let us know. We'd love to have your feedback.